Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all as we study the Word today. We're looking into Luke chapter 4 at the authority of Jesus Christ over the demonic world. And before we get into this exciting topic, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your holy word. Now, make the Bible clear to us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So what's today's passage? What are we looking at? Luke chapter 4, verses 31 to 37. And he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And that's the key word today, authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went into every place in the surrounding region. Well, you see, Jesus had two things. He had authority and he had power. Now, the word authority is exousia in the Greek, and it means positional authority. It's the ability to command. It's the authority that someone like a general has. So Jesus was a general. In fact, he was God. He was a powerful person in the spiritual realm. So because he had so much authority, because his word carried weight in the heavenly realms, we'll talk about that later on, because he's the Son of God and has a name that's higher than every other name in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. He gives an order and it must be obeyed. He can obey. He can command demons. He can rebuke diseases. He can rebuke storms because he has authority. And the Greek word for that is exousia. The other word there is power. And the Greek word for that is dunamis, from which we get words like dynamo and dynamite. This is the power, the energy from God to do things, the energy to expel a disobedient demon. So he has the power to actually push the demon out of someone's body because he has spiritual energy, unlike anyone who ever came before him. He had this tremendous dunamis energy of God that is imparted through the indwelling power of the Holy Ghost. He had a Holy Ghost anointing which he was covered with the dunamis energy, the power of God to accomplish things like a bulldozer. It's powerful, but a bulldozer doesn't have authority. So that's the difference. A general has authority, but it does not have the strength of the bulldozer. The bulldozer has strength, but it has no authority. It cannot command anything. But Jesus had both. Jesus had power. He was like a spiritual bulldozer, and he had authority like a spiritual general. So Jesus has both power and authority, and he can impart that power and authority to us. Now, when we look at the life of Jesus, he has power and authority, and he can command the unclean spirits, and they come out without hurting anybody. Now, if you look in the Old Testament, do you see anyone casting out a demon? The answer is no. There were no demons cast out in the Old Testament. You don't see Isaiah casting out a demon or Moses casting out a demon. You don't see any of the great people like King David casting out a demon. None of the people in the Old Testament had the power to command demons. And that's why when he started doing this and he says, "Be silent and come out of him," and the demon obeys, they say, "What strange thing is this? What strange wisdom is going on?" And every time Jesus does this at the start of his ministry, everyone says, "This is a new thing. What's happening here?" And people are astonished. Now, Capernaum was the place where Jesus did a lot of miracles. He had a house there, it seems, at some point. That's the house. The lame person was lowered through the roof of his house. And Peter had a house there as well. It was a fishing village in Galilee. And a lot of miracles occurred there. It was a sort of spiritual center, a miracle center, where God's anointing had come down. And a lot of Jesus' ministry happens in and around Capernaum in the cities of Galilee. So Capernaum seems to have had an open heaven over it. But if we go back a little bit in Luke 4, we find out that when he went to Nazareth, also in the same area, there was no anointing, no power. The people were full of doubt, and there was very few miracles done there except for a few healings. But Capernaum was different. Capernaum had a great anointing. The power of God was all over Capernaum. Miracle after miracle happened there, and God had an open heaven there to cast out demons, heal diseases, and do various mighty works, which we'll see as we go further on into the Gospel of Luke. But today we want to talk about this whole thing of authority and power. The authority and power of Jesus operates through his word. Now, Jesus didn't go around hitting people over the head with newspapers or casting out demons with smelly fish or anything like that. He didn't have any ritual of zapping people with a large white handkerchief or grabbing his coat and shaking it so that people fell down under that anointing. No, Jesus just spoke. He didn't do anything spectacular waving his hand through the air. He just said, in the name of Jesus, he didn't say in the name of Jesus, he just said demon came out because he was speaking in the name of Jesus, but we have to speak in the name of Jesus if we're going to get anything done. So Jesus' power comes through his word, and it comes to us also through God's word. Now, God's word comes to us in two forms. Firstly, through the Bible, especially the New Testament. We can stand on the scriptures. We can rebuke demons on the basis of the promise of God. We can say, the Bible says, just as Jesus said to the devil, the Bible says, and rebuke the devil out of the situation. So we have the Logos word of God, the written word of God, and we can use that for rebuking the devil. That's why you have to memorize the Bible and use it in part of your spiritual conflict. The other word of God that comes to us is the Rhema word, the word that God gives us in our heart and our spirit for the specific situation that we are in. And in that specific situation, we know that God tells us to say something to a person. It comes out of our spirit to their spirit, and is an effective word that is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the soul and spirit. And God's spoken word, his word of knowledge, his word of wisdom, his word of healing, his word of rebuke, it comes from the anointed man or woman of God. That word can be very effective also. But it's not a permanent word. The Rhema word of God is situational. It's for that little situation only, and you can't build doctrine out of it. Now, doctrine is really important, so we need to have both. We need to have the right doctrine, so we also have to have the ability to know what to speak to a person or how to rebuke a demon in a particular situation. So we find out that the demons actually knew who Jesus was. Have you come to destroy us? They knew that Jesus was the Son of God, that they were at war with Jesus, and that Jesus had enormous power and he could destroy the demons. And in other places they say, are you going to cast us into the pit now? It wasn't that time. The time for casting demons into the pit will come at the end times, and all the demons know that they are going to be dwelling in eternal fire, and that God will deal with them ever so harshly, and he will cast the devil into the lake of fire, the false prophet, the beast, and all those negative people and those who took the mark of the beast. They're all going to be cast into the lake of fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So the demons, which are the devil and his angels, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire, prepared for them since they rebelled. So God prepared this lake of fire, this terrible place where the demons were going to go, and they were terrified of what Jesus was going to do to them. And in this case, he was just going to expel them out into the heavenly realms, into the low-level heavenly realms around Capernaum. Now, the three heavenly realms are the third heaven where God dwells, the second heaven where the devil and demons do battle, and the first heaven, which is where the birds fly and where a lot of demonic activity occurs here on earth. And in fact, that first heaven is dominated by Satan. He's the prince of the power of the air. The air is the first heaven. So we find that in Ephesians chapter 2. So the air is where, that first realm is where the devil does most of his nasty work. And eventually he'll be cast out of that realm and into a human body when the war with Michael the Archangel takes place in Revelation chapter 12. So the demons are expelled out, they are out of the person, they then float around in the first heaven. They might find another body to go into if a person is sinful. But that's what happened here to this demon. And when Jesus cast the demon out, the demon threw the person on the ground, knocked them out, but there was no harm done to the person. Now, Satan comes to steal and kill and destroy. But God comes and says you can have life and have life abundantly. And so when Jesus casts out a demon, the person is not harmed in any way. But when some people go around and they do these crazy exorcisms and they beat people with sticks and make them vomit and things like that, that's not the way that Jesus did exorcism. He didn't do any harm when he drove the demon out of someone. So some of these people that do violent exorcism, they're not doing it according to the will of God. You should never use violence. You should never tie anyone up as part of driving a demon out. Just use the word of God. Just use power and strength that's given to you in the word of God and your anointing, and rebuke that demon out of a person just as Jesus did so here. We never find Jesus tying anyone up or using strange potions or beating anyone with a stick or cussing the person to get the demon to come out. That is not the biblical way. You don't see anyone doing that in the New Testament. Now, how come people in the New Testament could cast out demons, but people in the Old Testament couldn't? And that's because Jesus has come, and Jesus is the Son of God. He's the kingdom of God, and he changed the spiritual realms. And he took us up into a much higher place in the spiritual realm. So now when you're a Christian, when you're a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, you're seated in heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. So let's have a look at that. Ephesians 1, 20-22. That he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet, under the feet of Jesus, and gave him his head over all things to the church. That's Ephesians 1, 20 and 22. Flip over the chapter to Ephesians 2, 6 and 7. It talks about us. And raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places. So Jesus is up there in the heavenly places with all things under his feet, and we're seated with Jesus in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So we've been taken from the guttermost to the uttermost. We've been seated in Christ Jesus in the heavenly realms because we are in Christ. Because we are in Christ, we have died with Christ to sin. And because we are in Christ, we have been raised with Christ to new life. And because Christ has ascended to heaven and we are in Christ, we have ascended with him into the heavenly realms. He's our high priest, but we have priestly power. We are also a priesthood, a royal priesthood. We also have priestly power because we have ascended in heaven with Christ. And because we have priestly power, because we have an anointing that's given to us by God, we can now cast out demons, and it's very common for Christian pastors and Christian workers who are carrying an anointing, carry the authority of the Word of God, to be able to cast out demons, because we're placed in the third heaven with Christ Jesus, our life, but we have died and our life is hidden in Christ in the heavenly realms. And when Christ returns, our glory shall be revealed. We don't know much about that glory at the moment, but it will be revealed. So let's now we're given authority, and Jesus passes that authority on to us. And let's look at Matthew 28. That's a well-known passage called the Great Commission. It talks about Jesus' transfer of his authority over to our authority. And Jesus came and said to them, to the disciples, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So we have the authority of Jesus with us. He's with us. He's got all this authority. He's working. When we work with Jesus, Jesus works with us. And just like he did with the disciples there on the earth, and they could do miracles because Jesus was with them, we can do miracles because Jesus is with us now in spiritual presence and spiritual power, and his power is with us to the end of the age. What does that mean? Has the age ended? No. So is Jesus' miracle-working presence still around? Yes, it is. Is it with everyone who goes and shares the gospel and makes disciples? Oh, absolutely. If you're working with Jesus, Jesus is working with you, and his power will accomplish you. The work of God through you. And that's what you're to do. You're to draw on the power that God has delegated and given to you for your anointing, for your work that he has called you to. You don't want to doubt that Jesus is with you. You don't have to be good. You don't have to be perfect for Jesus to be with you. He's with you anyway. Through the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, he forgives your sins, and he will work with you to give you the power over evil, over demons, over powers and principalities. Because remember, Paul says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against powers and principalities in the heavenly realms. And that means we can wrestle with them. Before the Old Testament, they weren't wrestling with powers and principalities in the heavenly realms. That's why they had all those Old Testament battles. But there are no battles in the New Testament. Well, we don't find Christians running around with swords and chariots in the New Testament defeating the enemy. No such thing. We defeat powers and principalities in the heavenly realm. We defeat ideas. We defeat demons. We defeat sin. We defeat all those kind of spiritual things. That's the war we have now. It's a war of authority. It's a war of power. But it's not a war of guns. It's not a war of installing governments around the world. It's a spiritual war, of great power. And we are the ones who fight the powers and principalities because we can. We've been given the authority to fight. We can fight the powers and principalities because now we have authority and now we have power and God's working with us. And in Mark 16, this is what it says about that whole process. Mark 16, verses 15 to 18, and he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." So this says, these signs will accompany those who believe, not just the apostles, but the ordinary everyday believer can lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. The ordinary everyday believer can cast out demons. And that's the power that is given to us through the Holy Ghost who comes upon us. And Acts 1:8, we know. And power will come upon you and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And how can you be God's witness without any power? You're just being an intellectual. You're just arguing with ideas. But anyone can be an intellectual. There's all sorts of good philosophies out there in the world that can be well argued. And if our faith is just an intellectual faith, we can be argued into it and we can be argued out of it. But our faith does not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God demonstrated. And to be a witness, we have to have power. We have to have the power to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons, to cleanse the lepers, as God gives you the power and the gifts that you have. And so not everyone has to be a mighty miracle worker, moving mountains from here to there, but the mighty miracle workers are necessary if the evangelists are going to do their work. The mighty miracle workers go first and they convince people of the power of God. They convince people of the power of the gospel. It's part of the apostolic ministry to convince people of these things, that they're happening, they're true and they're real. So the apostles have to have the ability to do signs and wonders and then to proclaim the gospel. The evangelists then follow the apostles and say, "Look, believe in Jesus right now. You've seen the signs, you've seen the wonders, you've seen what the apostle has done. Now believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." Just as it happened with the apostles, with the lame man at the gate beautiful, they said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He rose up and walked and everyone was astonished. Jerusalem was astonished. People were running around. And then, of course, once they'd done that, they said, "Do you think it was through us that this man was saved?" "No, we don't have, and it's not due to our power. It's not due to our piety, but due to faith in the name of Jesus Christ." Through faith in the name of Jesus Christ, this man has been made whole. And so then they declare and they evangelize and people are saved in very large numbers. I think a few thousand, another 5,000 people get at it because of the sign and the wonder that takes place. And you go through the book of Acts time and time again. There's signs, there's wonders, And then there's evangelism, and people believe in large numbers. But when he tried to argue, when he didn't use any signs and wonders in Athens, they tried to be intellectual, only a few believed and most scoffed. So what we really need is we need an anointing. We need the power of God. You need the power of God upon you. Now, many believers, all believers who are true believers, have the Holy Spirit in them, producing the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, righteousness, wisdom. You need all of those things. You need the fruit of the Spirit. I'm not knocking having the Holy Spirit within you, transforming you and sealing you for salvation. That is absolutely necessary. You need to be sealed. You need to have the Holy Spirit within you. But you also need to have the Holy Spirit upon you to do the miracles and works of God. And you should pray for that. You should go to God and say, Lord, I need anointing. I need the Holy Spirit upon me to do the work. I need a deeper anointing. I need a better anointing. I need power and I need authority. And authority comes in the spiritual realm when you really know the Bible. When you know the Bible, when you're living a holy life, when you're living an upright life, then you gain authority. And people say, oh, this person's got authority. This person speaks with authority. This person knows what they're doing. And somehow or other, people automatically recognize your leadership when you're deep in God. When you really got into God, you spend a lot of time with God in prayer, in the Word, people recognize your authority. But you also, as well as having deep spiritual authority over years in the Word, and you gradually grow in the authority, and God grants you authority in the Word, that comes from believing. You also need power, the power that comes through energetic faith. And you need to have the power to push through in spiritual things. You need the determination. You need the zeal. You need the boldness to speak forth the Word of God and to have the push to get through, and to get through the powers and principalities, to get past the demons, to start rebuking the demons that confront you in your own work and in the lives of others. And you should regularly be casting demons out of those who need demons cast out of them. Here in America, not so much in the past, but it's getting more and more where people are demon-possessed and they need deliverance. And you need to study deliverance ministry. You need to read books on deliverance. You need to start practicing deliverance with someone who knows how to cast out demons. Don't just walk out there and try to do deliverance on your own, or you will get your butt kicked. You will get hurt. The demons will come back at you. And in my early days of deliverance, that happened to me, and I ended up with malaria as a result of doing a careless deliverance. And I could tell you more about that story at a later time, but you should always work in a team of people and listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, I've got a little website that helps you with deliverance. If you want to write it down, get your pens and paper out now. It's globalchristians.org/cleansing. I'll repeat that. globalchristians.org/cleansing. There's a little bit of a roughly written book on spiritual warfare, but there's a prayer there as well, a prayer for spiritual cleansing, which many, many people have found helpful. And you give this prayer to someone. You can translate it into any of your languages that you like. You can translate it into Luganda or Swahili or any other language. And you can do that work share that prayer around. But it gets people to repent of all their sins, get rid of all the occult objects in their life, confess the sins of their parents and ancestors, and then ask God to take over any ground in their life that the devil may have had, and to fill their lives with the Holy Spirit and cleanse them of every iniquity, and then confesses God to power and authority, and ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, that little prayer is very, very useful. I've helped thousands of people with that over the years. It's been a great little prayer. It will help you. And you use it like a spiritual antibiotic. You pray it twice a day for 3 weeks, and gradually all the confusion in your head, all the demonic footholds and strongholds in your life will clear out, and you'll find your Christian life's a lot better. So that prayer to help people get rid of the demonic in their life, to get rid of spiritual oppression in their life, you can find that at globalchristians.org/cleansing. That's globalchristians.org/cleansing. So we find that God has given Christ authority, Jesus Christ had the authority to cast out demons. He then took that authority that he had, and then he gave it to the apostles, first of all. And he said he's going to be with them wherever they go, and he's with us also. And that authority was then transferred to the apostles. The apostles went out and did great miracles, but then they also passed that authority on to numerous believers. And we find all sorts of people in the New Testament being able, such as the early deacons, Stephen, for instance, was able to cast out demons, was able to do miracles, and God was with them, and various people in the book of Acts the same. So the word of God, the authority of God, traveled down to ordinary believers, and we find in Mark that every believer, anyone who believes, anyone who's seated in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus, can cast out demons and heal the sick. It should be an ordinary part of your Christian life. Now, it takes some practice. Yet, like any spiritual gift, it takes a lot of practice, generally a couple of years before you get good at it. And so hang out with people that like doing spiritual warfare and deliverance. Learn from them. Get a mentor in the area of spiritual deliverance. Read books, listen to programs, watch videos, and gradually get yourself tuned in to the spiritual realm, because that's where God wants to work in your heart and your life. He wants you to be victorious. He wants you to be a great witness to many people. And that will happen when you work in the authority and power of the Holy Spirit, the authority and power that God has given you through the gospel. So go back to today's passage, Luke 4, 31 to 37. Study it in depth. I realize that God has come to defeat the devil, to undo the works of the devil, as it says in 1 John. Jesus came to undo the works of the devil. He's transferred that to us, and we are to do the same. We're to defeat the devil wherever we find him. So this is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all, and may God strengthen you in his work at this time. God bless you, and see you in the next broadcast.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.